Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Think we are live. Sip a little bit of that pre-workout. Let's get this show rocking and rumbling. Doing no more of that sound coming out of me. Connect. Hey, Phil, can you hear me?
If I can.
All right, cool. So everything is up and running. We'll get started.
Right on. Let's do this.
All right, welcome. Oh, do you have something to say before we start?
Nope, we're good.
All right, cool. Welcome to episode 7 of Tripolar. My guest today is Phil Ketchum. How you doing, Phil?
I'm well. How are you?
Pretty well. I'd say a 7 good. Out of 10. Pretty good.
Okay. Excellent.
Today is going to be an interesting episode. Some of the feedback I've gotten on the episodes up to this point were that people liked them, but we didn't focus enough on mental health, which is kind of the foundational theme of this show. So today's episode, we're going to focus pretty specifically on a drug which impacts the mind in drastic ways. Now, you know what this drug is. It's meth. It's one of the most famous drugs, I would say, illegal drugs, greatly popularized by the awesome TV show Breaking Bad. Highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. Have you seen that?
Which I could not watch it because it was too close to home.
Oh, wow. Huh.
It was too real. Way too real.
Wow. Well, we're going to get into that. And so that's the topic today. We're going to talk about specifically about one man's dealings with this drug. And this is going to be unlike anything you've heard because it's not that hard to find someone who's been affected by this drug. It's not that hard to even find a dramatic, compelling story featuring someone who's kind of been humbled or taken down or, you know, barely survived this drug. What is rare is to find someone who has come out of it okay and who you would never know had a brush with it. And that's who Phil is. I recently became acquainted with Phil probably the other month. It was about a month ago we met.
It's been about 2 months now, I think.
2 months. Wow. See, I'm terrible at keeping track of time.
Yeah, I have a hard time with it myself.
So a couple months ago we met, and I like to try to give people a little bit of a visual of the guest. So the way I would describe Phil, if I were like writing him into a script, is to say that, you know, like the guy from the Cialis commercials? Phil would have been better than that guy. Like, they would have sold more Cialis with Phil as the guy in the commercials. He's like...
Very flattering. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Sure, that's not a compliment you've gotten from a guy before. He's middle-aged. I would say late 40s, maybe early 50s. I don't know exactly.
I'm 47.
47. Okay. So 47
yes,
years old. Built like an action figure, great shape, full head of gray hair, bright blue eyes. You know, would have been a shoo-in for that Cialis spot. Green eyes. Okay.
Yes, sir.
I apologize.
They're hazel. They kind of change colors, so.
Okay. All right. There you have it, folks. So that's kind of what Phil looks like. And I go into those details because it is germane to the conversation because when you think of someone who's been addicted to meth, you think of like the characters in Breaking Bad. You think of, you know, these like really skinny people with missing teeth, really frail, like look like you could break their bones by like flicking them. Phil doesn't look like that at all. Phil looks like a very healthy, put together, could be the CEO of a company. He looks kind of like I think the CEO of United Airlines looks kind of like you, I want to say, from those pre-flight videos.
Right.
But unlike the CEO of United Airlines, Phil's not a dick. He probably wouldn't lay a ton of people off when the economy took a hit. And it would make you pay for headphones. What's that about? Such bullshit. Anyway,
exactly.
let's not get into airline comedy. That's the lowest form of comedy. But yeah, now he works for, I won't say the name of the company. I don't think it really matters, but he works for a big company, big corporation.
Yes.
That does like secret government shit.
Yeah, nationwide company,
right?
Worldwide company, big company, very large.
Tens very large, very
employees.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Tens of thousands. Probably like, I suspect they're involved in some like black budget Pentagon shady shit.
I can't discuss that. I can't discuss that.
Okay, so if someone can't discuss that about their company, draw your own conclusion.
You're
not going to say that about like Domino's and someone's going to be like, can't discuss that.
I can't talk about that either.
okay. I'm not going to get into that. But
right on.
Point being, he like this is a guy who's successful by every standard. He's got like a milf-tastic girlfriend, beautiful girlfriend. Everything about this guy, seeing him, you would think like, cool. That's kind of what we're shooting for in general. And I was very surprised to find that Phil had suffered through a lot in his past. A lot, I don't know all the details. We're going to kind of uncover it here. He was very seriously into meth to the point where he told me he had been up. Did you say you'd been awake for like months at a time?
No, 5 days was my longest. No, five days was my longest time awake.
Okay,
at one stretch. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's more believable. But yeah, I mean, even 5 days, I can't imagine. I don't think I've ever gone more than, I'm trying to think of what my record is. Like in law school, I remember this paper being due and I was up all night. I had to turn it in. I had a meeting the next morning. I was in class the next, you know, I came home the next evening. It was so weird. If you don't sleep, weird shit happens to your brain.
Yeah, you start seeing things and you start feeling things that you don't normally feel.
Yeah, and it's very real.
It's actually surreal.
yeah. And that's something I don't think a lot of people know or appreciate.
No, they don't.
Because everyone sleeps. It's a natural response. You know, you're just going to do it.
Right.
But if you have something that prevents you from doing it, which is almost always a drug, I don't know of many other ways to avoid sleep, other than like extremely dramatic circumstances, like you're running through your life and you're up for a few days, like you're in a war or something. Like there's no situation where no matter what the fuck's going on, people are sleeping, you know, like no matter how
your body has to,
you are,
it's a natural thing. You have to do it to serve from your mental capacity.
Yeah, like they say you can survive. I don't know if this is true. I should research shit before I say it, but I'm pretty sure you can survive longer like without water than without sleep. You know, there's some weird fact like that. Like sleep is so important that you literally lose your mind and
you
can die from just staying awake. And it's a mysterious process. They're still figuring out sleep, what's going on when you're asleep.
They have no idea.
It's
a mystery.
It's a mystery.
It's all about electrical impulses that travel through your whole system, and we're a perfect machine that is ran imperfectly.
What do you mean by imperfectly?
We act upon our lives in a imperfect way, and then cause our bodies and minds to do things that are probably not normal to what they're designed for. Is the way I feel about it. I know it's a little
Okay.
deep.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, I like deep. Deep's what we're going for.
Right on.
This isn't like a Jay Leno interview, you know? We get into some shit here.
Cool.
But yeah, so without further ado, let's get into it, 'cause I know I have a tendency to kind of ramble. But Phil, what tell me a little tell us a little about, like, just your origins. Like, where did you come from?
Okay. Originally from Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Grew up there for the first 11 years of my life. Went to a Christian school. Went to a church 3, 4 times a week because that's how my family was rolled through life.
A lot of
Saw
church.
a lot of church, and it was my life. It was everything I knew, and that was good for at that time in my life. Up till I was 11 years old
What
when
denomination?
the Christian, basically non-denominational Christian, Bible
Okay.
church. It was, and my family, my entire family, my cousins, my aunt and uncle, my grandfather, grandparents, my mom and dad, my brothers and I, all went to this church, and I saw this church, implode upon itself because we had, you know, how people are. They want power, and they that, does terrible things to people. People crave power, and it tends, they want to destroy things that they want so they can get that power. And it, well, we saw my church fall apart in front of my very eyes, and it was horrible. We moved from
What
Cedar
happened?
Rapids when I was 11. Just people power tripping, and they undermined the leadership that was there. That was wonderful people, and you know, just how, you know, how people do. They undercut other people and do dirty deeds, and just because they want that sense of power or what. I don't know what drives people to do that kind of thing. That's
But
beyond
like,
me.
what
I've never.
specifically happened? Because it sounds like your
Well,
church got
there's
Game of Thrones.
it basically, essentially, yeah, kind of that, but not with that, less, little less blood.
Right, that's true.
It was just
A little
power
less blood of
tripping,
Christ.
elders undercutting the pastor and basically driving him out. And he was a great man and was a fantastic man, and I learned a lot from him.
Was there
And
like
he
a
was a great
scandal or
pastor.
anything specific?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, the whole church fell apart and broke apart into two separate churches.
I
One
see.
group followed one group of people, another group followed, and that basically kind of formulated my view of religion and organized religion from that point on in my life. I have a very deep faith in what I believe, but I don't have a very strong sense of organized religion as a what's the word? I just don't
Institution.
follow organized, yeah, institution. It's just not, I find it to be disingenuous and full of hypocrites. And
Kind of
they
at
just
odds
tend
with
to.
the principles it teaches, like inherently, I feel
True.
like.
I agree. I agree. Totally 100%. It's not Christ-like. And
Yeah,
that's
not
what I
to
believe.
totally go off topic like I tend to, but I was talking about this the other day with I'm trying to remember. I think my dad. Bernie Sanders is running for president, and I've been following his campaign, and I may endorse him. We'll see. But I like a lot of the ideas he has. Like, let's make school free for everybody. Let's have free health care. Let's invest in, and let's just take the
Yeah.
way I look at it is like, if you're playing
Let's not
Monopoly.
go there.
Okay,
Let's not
we
go
probably differ
there.
politically.
Probably, but that's fine.
But.
I tend to be very libertarian, so.
Okay. Well, anyways, what I was getting at with that is that these ideas are called socialist, which, yeah, I guess they are. But if you look at Jesus, he was a super socialist, and the Catholic Church became a kind of monolithic empire built on a guy who was pretty much just like a socialist who didn't want any. He was basically rebelling
Non-interventionist,
against the,
yeah,
yeah,
absolutely,
and
against
so
the
there's a lot
organizations
of
of the time.
hypocrisy.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of hypocrisy just in trying to assign basic human institutions, which inevitably involve power struggles and
Power and corruption, yeah,
politics
absolutely.
and all that. It's those two things don't marry well, and I think
No,
that's
and they discuss it.
why we
They
just see that.
disgust me. Yeah, I
Yeah,
have no use for
and
it.
so that made
I
an
just
impact
don't.
on you, obviously.
Yeah, from going forward starting from 11, age 11, we moved from that town and moved to Lebanon, Missouri, where my parents and my grandparents opened up a restaurant and lived there for 4 years. We all ran this restaurant. I worked there from age 13 till we left that town, and then for
Living
about 2 years,
restaurant.
and then it was Country Kitchen Restaurant. It was a family style
Okay.
restaurant.
Yeah, I came up in the restaurant business too growing up.
Yeah, it's tough work. It's hard work, and it was dealing with people sucks, but it's part of the business. Moved to Springfield after my freshman year, so sophomore year, we moved to Springfield, Missouri, and that's where I went to high school and got into. I was doing sports and stuff, and then met some other people and stopped doing sports and started smoking weed, which I
What
enjoyed a
sports were you
lot.
playing?
Played football in junior high and then part of high school and then swimming, swim team, and then pretty much that all fell away and
Were you good?
just
Were
kind
you
of
like
ran.
varsity and all
I was varsity swim team eventually,
that? Okay.
but not football because I was too small. I was too skinny. I was 6'2",
Gotcha.
155 when I graduated high school. So went through high school smoking weed and doing my thing. School was boring because it was too easy.
What
It
was your
didn't
first
challenge me.
experience with weed?
I
Do you
mean,
remember?
with not specifically, no, I don't, because it was kind of innocuous. I enjoyed it a lot, and I would to this day if I could, but I can't, so I won't.
The
But
drug test?
yeah, which is fine. It's
Okay.
not something I crave or desire.
What did you
I
feel?
would
What
enjoy
did you feel when you smoked weed?
just peace and relaxed and giddy and happy, for the most
Okay.
part. I never got the
They say it's
paranoia.
the gateway drug. So,
I find that to
which is
be
an
an
interesting
excuse.
idea.
I think that's an
Yeah, I
excuse.
agree.
I think you're it's a choice to do other things, and I'm a living example of that, which we'll get into.
Right. Well,
And
and it's
then
a
I
choice
don't
because
after
it's.
that. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry if I keep talking too much, but
That's all right.
it's one of those misleading statistics because, of course, someone who is intrigued enough by cocaine or meth has probably done other shit that's less
Sure.
serious. You know,
Right, right,
it's
right.
not the case that like that leads to that. It's just logical that
No.
someone who has an addictive personality or is adventurous in that sense is going to start
Yeah.
out with the things that are the easiest to get. That's how I look at it.
Absolutely.
I never saw a
Yeah,
correlation
and
between like it
I never
leads
did
to meth.
either.
Like,
No. So I
the
smoked weed
people
and then
you're around.
of course I smoked cigarettes the whole time and then joined the military just to get away from that scene, so to speak.
What branch?
And Air Force.
Okay.
And did 4 years and spent 2 years in England and ended up in California and had a great time. And while I was in the service, I should have stayed in. I would have been retired by now, but it's a whole nother story. When you're young and
So
impetuous and
you
you think that,
enlisted out of high school?
yes, I did.
Okay.
And like I said, I had a great time. I spent 2 years in England. That was a wonderful experience for a young man, getting to see the world and do a lot of things that most people don't get a chance to do. And I've appreciated every minute of it. I don't appreciate it. Didn't appreciate it at the time as much as I should have. But when you're young, you
Right.
don't appreciate the things that in retrospect, you should have. But I've since been back
Agreed.
and been back to England and enjoyed it a lot. I loved it. It's wonderful to experience other cultures.
Where were you stationed in England?
RAF Bentwaters, it's no longer in existence. It's closed down. It was in Suffolk County, northeast of London, by about an hour and a half train ride. It was
Okay.
beautiful
Were
country,
you up there?
and yeah, I loved it. It was great, and I got to go to
I used to live
Scotland and
on.
Germany.
Yeah, it's
On
beautiful
what?
there. I used to live on RAF Dawes Hill in
Where's
High Wycombe.
that? Oh, okay. That's up
High
north.
Wycombe, like West where I live.
Okay, that's
Yeah, I went to a boarding
awesome.
school there when I was like 15.
Yeah,
But
it's wonderful to experience those kind of things.
yeah, it changes your whole perspective on life when you realize
Absolutely.
that the world's so much bigger than it just
Than just your
was. Like,
little
it
niche.
is that kind of
Yeah, your little
fishbowl
corner.
effect.
Yeah, so I got to go to
Yeah.
Germany and Amsterdam and Belgium got to see, I went to Oktoberfest over in Germany and Munich, and that was amazing and enriching, and got to see a lot of different things and experience a lot of different cultures, and Scotland twice for Hogmanay, which is New Year's Eve, and that was an amazing party, and bunch of young guys full of piss and vinegar running the world, and it was great.
And
Then got to stay.
what was your interactions with drugs during your time in the service?
Zero. Well, I went to Amsterdam and it was
None.
everywhere around, but I did not experience. I didn't indulge because I didn't want to or couldn't, essentially.
So it was down to what, like cigarettes and alcohol when you were in the
Yeah, pretty
service?
much. Shitload of alcohol,
Okay,
shitload of
nice.
cigarettes. Yeah. Yep. Smoked a lot of
Okay,
cigarettes
nice.
and drank a lot of booze. But that's what you
Pretty
do when you're
standard
young.
standard.
And oh yeah. But
Okay,
then
okay.
left England, and after 2 years there, and went to California, RAF or March Air Force Base, which is Southern California, Riverside County. Which turns out I was there for the remainder of my 4 years, which is about a year and a half, and got out of the service then with another friend of mine, and we got an apartment together, and got a job at the same place, and I met up with my future wife, which is now my ex-wife, and she's the one that turned me on to meth. So,
Are you divorced?
yeah, been divorced from
Okay.
her since 2004.
Okay.
We're married for 13 years. Have a child who's now 22 years old. Who's also had a brush with meth, so the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, so to speak.
How did meth find its way into your home?
Well, my ex-wife, my wife at the time, she was involved in it, and I presume that she was on the edges of it, but kind of drew me in, and she warned me against it. So she said, "You shouldn't do this," and I chose to do it anyway because I was out of the service and looking to have a good time. And
Was it something she would indulge in herself regularly?
she had been using for a number of years. She was
And
very,
how did
very
that,
experienced.
had she been using meth before you got married, or was this something that
Yes.
happened
Yes.
while you were married?
Yeah.
Okay. So from the
Yeah.
time you knew her, she had in some, you know, it was part of her life.
Yeah, sure. I mean, her best friend was a cook. So,
Okay.
Riverside County was the meth capital of the world at the time, which ironically moved to
Interesting.
Independence when we moved out here.
Really?
But that was, yeah, it's kind of weird. It kind of followed us. But luckily, that's a little bit farther down
That's
the
really
story.
close
But
to Kansas City for anyone
yeah,
listening.
right. So
Okay.
yeah, Riverside County.
The pilot for
We're in.
Breaking Bad was set in Riverside. People
Yeah,
don't
I
know
don't
that,
doubt
but
that.
yeah, I read the script, the pilot Vince Gilligan wrote, and it was originally set in Riverside. They changed it to New Mexico because they offered them all these tax incentives to, and then it became like a character, the city's there, you know, Albuquerque. But yeah, so okay, so that was kind of just you happened to live, it sounds like, in a spot where it was prominent. Your wife
Yes.
was involved in the business to some degree. She had been using.
Yeah.
Do you remember the first time you used it?
Yeah, I do. It was pretty vivid and pretty crazy. She warned me to stay out of the mirror, which I did not heed that warning. And if you've ever done math and you know what it does to your brain, it makes you focus on something very intently and try to correct it. and I perceived that I had a zit on my nose, corner of my nose on my face, and I got in the mirror for about 3 hours and picked a scab the size of a quarter on my face.
Oh, my God.
So yeah, that was the first time and last time I ever got in the mirror when I was doing math.
It
But
sounds like body dysmorphic disorder.
yeah, I assume it's one. It's just something that you. It's a focus thing with math. It tends to make you focus in very intently on one thing
Right.
until something's shiny. You see something shiny after you've been up for a few days, and you start distracting yourself with other things. After you've done it for a number of years or months or whatever, your brain, you get a little bit more addle-brained rather than focused. I tend to be a focused individual anyway, and this just
Right.
intensified it, which I liked at first. It really kept me on point and sharp and active and busy and accomplished at first. But after that, it morphs into something. Go ahead.
I want to slow down and zoom in on this moment. So that first experience, describe it to
Yeah.
me. Like the setting, the
Well,
situation,
it was
exactly
my
what
our
you felt,
apartment.
all
It
that.
was a, it was apartment that we were renting, and she acquired this somehow. I don't remember how. It was that's all kind of fuzzy, but I remember doing it and snorting it and just doing what you do when you get on meth. You just get excited and active and project-minded, and you want to get things done. You race around and do all
Compare
these
the
things.
emotion to something. Can you compare the emotion to people listening, to what you might feel off of meth? You know, like, is there something you could compare it to?
It's like if you have a really hot project at work and it's very important that you get this done. It's critical to the future of the business, that if the whole world's going to collapse if you don't get this job done. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
It's that energized, excited, adrenaline pumping feeling, kind of, only
Like absolute
times 10.
focus.
Yeah, like laser focused.
An absolute devotion, emotional investment in whatever it is you're
Right.
focused on, right?
Right, exactly. And nothing can distract you from
Right.
it.
See,
And
I
uh,
take
yeah.
medically prescribed amphetamines right now. I take dexedrine, which is,
Okay.
an amphetamine salt. And the first time I took amphetamines was not in a legal way. It wasn't meth, but it was like prescription, like Adderall. I took it from someone I bought it from in Australia, and they said it would help me write. And remember when I took that, it was the first time I'd taken a drug that had drastically altered my emotional state and perception. Like alcohol,
Yes.
I've been drunk. It's on a completely another level. It was, where I just
Yeah.
felt filled with
It's euphoric.
confidence,
Yeah.
euphoric,
Powerful.
like physically. I felt like
Yeah.
tingly, like just like if you were ex like you were just like surprised by something, like they're just
Yeah.
you felt like love, or it's weird. Like
Yeah. It's
I
very
felt
intense.
so
Very, very
happy.
intense. Everything was
I wanted to
intense.
talk to everyone I loved. I wanted to,
Yeah.
I wanted to take on the world. Like I saw just that I was going to be extremely powerful and accomplished,
And
and
that's
I
how
saw
meth,
all these steps to.
and that's how it starts with meth, but it doesn't
Right.
last. But
So you
for
felt
very
all
long
that
after.
too.
Oh sure, yeah, absolutely. And the sex was amazing. Of course, you never. I mean, it was that if you focus your energies on that, it's amazing like that. It's euphoric and you have tons of energy and you can't stop. And it's basically the way we put it was, you don't know if you're fucking up all night or up all night fucking.
Wow.
So it was pretty intense.
Well, and that's something you
And
never hear either.
yeah. But
Huh.
there's a dark side to that too. I mean, just like with everything, if there's you can let that morph into something worse if you'd let it. And that's how meth
Did it
goes. I
make
mean, it starts really high, it starts super, super high. And if you keep doing it for a period of time, it drags you down because it Oh, it's hard to explain. Well, the way I always explained it after I had recognized what it felt like was that it basically strips your soul away over time, over a number of years or months, depending on the individual and how often and how deep you are into it. And I was pretty deep into it. You know, we were, you know, once you get start doing it, you want it. You there is a that is the most addicted I've ever been to anything short of cigarettes.
How long did it take for you to be addicted, or to realize you
Instantly.
were addicted?
Meth,
Oh,
instantly. I wanted it.
so
I
you were just
wanted
like,
more right away.
I'm in.
Yeah, this is great. This is awesome. I feel powerful and something that I had never felt before as a person. I mean, it was a different kind of powerful feeling, you know. You
You're a new
didn't
man,
it,
huh?
pretty much, yeah. You just did. You feel like a different person, and at the time you like that person, but over time, and it's an altered reality in a big way, big way.
It
And so
sounds
you
a lot
recognize
like
it, and
mania.
it's very much
It
that.
is. It just is, huh?
Yeah, it's it
Yeah,
is
because
it, you're
that's what
manic.
bipolar people will feel, many of them just without drugs. It'll just,
Sure.
they'll wake up one day and that'll hit them, and it's this rush, and it sounds like it's exactly like what meth is. And for I think
Yeah.
people who have those tendencies, like are have a mood disorder or whatever, if they take something like that, or even like, because for me, what I felt on Adderall, it's like what you described with meth. I can't imagine if I actually did straight up meth what I would have felt. But I realized at that time something was weird about me because it wasn't supposed to feel that good. Like
Right.
other people had taken Adderall that I knew, and they never described like, where I had ideas that were so good I was like crying about them. It was like
Yeah, I've
weird.
been there. I've been there. We're just uncontrollable
And
emotions.
they're terrible ideas, like in retrospect, right?
Yeah, over yeah, in retrospect you're like, what the fuck was I thinking? That was retarded. But
Right.
you know, yeah, and it was with my ex-wife that we had these just deep, heartfelt, at the time, crazily emotional, almost religious type experiences.
Can
And
you describe one of those
yeah,
experiences?
well, we were in San Diego one, and we had driven down to San Diego for a getaway, and the two of us were in a hotel room and we were partying and doing meth and had that experience, and I just felt overcome with emotion about, hell, I don't even remember at the time, but it was, you know, it was a mixture of love and lust and deep feeling, just, you know, deep down in your soul type feeling. And I was bawling, just bawling, because I felt so much emotion that I couldn't even pin it down to what it w really was. And I remember that feeling. It was like, it was almost religious, you know. I felt it was almost like a, it's the only way I can explain it, really. It was like a religious experience in a way, like you're
Had
outside
you
your
had
body type.
religious experiences before doing
No,
meth?
not like that. No, that was
Right.
retarded. It was crazy. It just felt, it was, you're just overcome with more emotion than you've ever felt in your life. And
Right.
it's chemical, it's basically chemical based. And you're it's almost like a psychotic break, I think,
Yeah, why
in
don't you explain
retrospect.
that? Like, what's going on,
It just
if you
feel, it
know
just
kind of
felt, it,
the technical
I don't
details?
really, it's hard to, exp I don't know the technical details, but because I'm not
The overload of
trained in psychology,
serotonin, like
but
it just
you just, yeah, you
floods you
just,
with
it's too
serotonin,
much. It's,
sweet
yeah, just too much overpowering
dopamine.
emotion.
That's dopamine.
Yeah, dopamine, I mean, all of it. I mean, everything that is, all the chemicals are being released at once, and that's what meth does. It chemically enhances or does something to your dopamine. It blows it out, and you feel that for a while, and then the serotonin and all the other tonins do their magic, or lack thereof, and it strips that out of you.
Right.
It strips that happiness out of you over time, after you've done it for so many months or years, depending on the individual and their chemistry and whatnot, and mental state. I mean, I believe that people with different mental states have a different reaction to it. my ex-wife was
Right.
is narcissistic and a bit bipolar, and that would come out over when we were on meth over time, and it would cause me to do. I'm a fairly stable mentally person, I like to think, but on meth I wasn't. I was angry and emotional and it just brought the worst out of me personally, and I didn't like the way that felt over after a number of years. After about 3.5, 4 years, I had recognized that what it did to me was not me. It was
What was your life outside of the home during this 3, 4 years? Were you working like a job?
I had a steady job in the semiconductor industry. I was a electronics equipment technician. I maintained multi-million dollar equipment and did a fine job and was really good at it because I outperformed everybody. And
You think the
because
meth helped you?
yes, it helped in the fact that I outperformed everybody and did more work than everybody, but it affected my attitude about things and people and situations and made me less responsible than I should have been about my job and my life. During this time, I had a we had a son together, and we really couldn't live together because we were both whacked out on meth, and she got off of meth essentially while she was pregnant, and I kept doing it to a degree, not as much as probably I wanted to, and that became kind of a rift between us, and we had a lot of
Were
upset
you taking it on a daily basis then?
when we could get it. Yeah, I mean, there was times when wouldn't have it for a week or 2 or 2 weeks or something like that, but due to money issues or availability
Right.
issues, and so you muddle through your life and until you get some more,
So you
and then
have
you
more.
do that for a
What,
while,
like,
and yeah, until
what,
you
how would you take it when you had it?
I was in snorting,
All different
inhaling it.
ways, or was it snorting it?
No, just snorting. I
Okay.
never,
And how long
I
would
didn't like
the
smoking it. I
Okay.
thought
How
smoking it
long
was
would the
wasteful
effect
'cause,
last?
oh, I mean, depending on the stuff. I mean, there was varying qualities throughout the years that we did it. I mean, sometimes the stuff was amazing, and you do one little tiny half inch line, and you're up for a day. And then sometimes you have to do bumps throughout the day to keep yourself going. But
Right.
it varied depending on the quality and who you're getting it from and how they're cutting it and all that fun stuff, all the chemistry, which I don't pretend to know anything about. I know
Right.
very little about it. I understand some of it, but I don't want to know any more than I already do. So,
Right. And
but
would you, could you kind of walk me through, like, it sounds like, because it's something we discussed was that you have trouble remembering specifics during this stretch of your life, right?
oh yeah, the time has no bearing because you're up for days at a time, and I mean, it's just a big blur because you're going and going and going and crashing and going and going and crashing and going, and you're just going through your life and kind of like you do in your normal life without drugs, but at an amplified pace, and it's chaos, and we were moving a lot because we were moving from place to place because our life was turmoil. Because we were doing drugs, and we were having to we were our monies weren't going to where they should have been, and they were just like most people with drug problems have, their money goes where it shouldn't rather than where it should.
Right.
So you're depending on
Yeah, the
others
drugs are the
to
priority.
yeah, your drugs become your priority, which is not a good way to be when you have a family. So but we held our jobs, and we had our jobs until I quit my job a week before I left California. So I had a job that up until a good job that I enjoyed, but I knew that if I didn't leave California and didn't leave that situation at the time, I would probably die basically over time, I
What
think,
brought you to
because
that point?
well, I was separated from my wife at the time. I was living with these four guys, and we had this house, and it was we were partying. We were all doing meth and partying, and just everything was chaos. And I basically went to my ex, my wife, and my son and my stepson at the time, and said, "I'm going back to Missouri. If you're coming with me, let's go. Let's get a truck. Let's go. We're gonna pack up all our shit and
How
we're
old was
going."
he at the time?
My son was a year and a half, so Trace would have been 7 and a half.
Okay.
He was
And how
6 years
did he
older than
respond
me.
to all this? Because he must have been aware of what was going on at
He
that
had to have
age.
been, because his, yeah, because his, her family all were involved in illicit drugs and in one sort or another, and so he saw it on every level. His grandparents, his aunts and uncles, and they were all around doing various drugs, smoking weed all the time, and we'd smoked a lot of weed just to get medium when we were doing meth. You're up on meth and you
Right.
smoke weed just to get medium, just to get kind
Yeah,
of
and that's the thing
stable.
about, like, if anything's a gateway drug, it's a drug that hits you hard, because
Yeah.
that's a better definition of a gateway drug, because when you're heavily under the influence of something like meth, everything else has a lesser effect. Things
Yes.
that like if you were to smoke weed or drink alcohol or
Yeah.
Everything else, it kind of serves to bring you down,
Yeah,
like
they're a
almost in
depressant
what
rather
feels
than
like a
a
healthy way.
right. Well, yeah, and you would crave that a little bit just to get yourself back to a somewhat normal state.
Right, and I don't think that's
Somewhat
something
normal.
people understand, because unless they've done drugs like this or seen people, in these states. But
Right.
yeah, it could be someone who would never smoke weed or never drinks, and if they take a drug like that, then it's a completely different sensation drinking and stuff. Like, they may need to do it to sleep. They may need to drink a bottle of vodka just to bring themselves to the point where they could fall asleep. Or so there's
Right.
practical reasons. I think drug addicts are always self-medicating, trying to
Yes.
regulate their lives, and the only way to come down when you
Right.
have something like that in your body is to get it out of your body, or to introduce something new that's gonna
Yeah, that's going to affect it
have the
in a
opposite effect.
downer. Right. And that's totally true. And that's kind of how it was. It was cycling that in that regard. I drank a lot during that time and smoked a lot of weed because, I wanted to get medium so I could stop being so manic. Even though I
Right.
wanted to crave that manic feeling, it was very ironic, the whole up and down scenario. Yeah, so that whole time was just kind of a blur and kind of chaos. And my marriage suffered during that time, but we tried to pull it together and leave that scenario and got away from California. We packed all everything we owned into a U-Haul truck. Literally everything we owned in a big the biggest U-Haul truck they had, and got an 8-ball of meth and drove from California to Missouri. Well, almost to Missouri. This is the story I was going to tell you that I was wanted to tell you about, that we drove cross country 2,400 miles, got to the Kansas border, ran out of meth and money, and couldn't get through the Kansas the toll booth into Missouri because we didn't have the $3 or $4 to get through the toll booth. We had no money, no meth, and we were crashed after being up for 3 days or 4 days or whatever it was, driving across the country.
Wow. How'd you make it the rest of the way?
I had to call my mom and my brother, and they came rescued us.
And where were they? They
Um,
were in
they
Missouri.
were in, yeah, they're in Missouri, in Odessa, Missouri,
Okay.
and they drove the whatever hour and a half to the toll booth and paid our toll and got our truck through the toll booth,
So there
and the
wasn't
truck
like
broke
someone pulled
down.
in behind you and was like, I got you.
No, there was no help there,
Man.
because I'm sure
Yeah,
we looked like
you
death.
must have scared people.
I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
We were probably skinny as and tweaked out, and you know how tweakers look. They look like death,
Oh yeah.
and it was awful. It was
Otherwise, someone's
not.
paying
It,
that bill.
that was the lowest point of my entire life right there.
At that toll booth.
Didn't have, yeah, sleeping on the ground because we couldn't get through the toll booth. I think we were out of gas too. I think I'm not sure. I don't remember, but everything we owned was in that truck, and we were kind of huddled together trying to figure out how the fuck we were going to get to where we had to be. So
Wow.
they came, got us, and the truck broke down halfway to where we're supposed to be going, to Odessa. We had to pile in my brother's car and drove the rest of the way, and then got to my parents' house and crashed basically for a couple of days, slept for a couple of days. And the U-Haul brought the truck, fixed the truck, and got it back to where my parents' house was. And we slept, like I said, we slept for a couple of days, and kind of got our heads somewhat morbidly right as far as that goes. I mean, there's still a massive detoxification process that takes place over months and years, literally. It's a mindset that you have to change. You have to change your, not only there's a chemical thing that happens over days and weeks and months, but then there's a mental detoxification that happens over years because you've been doing it for years and you're in a habitual mode, so to speak, and your brain is wired a certain way, and you've got to change that wiring into a different
Right.
pattern of
And we were
more
talking about this
healthy,
where you're kind of OCD, which I am
a bit,
too, and you like
yeah.
routine, right?
Yes, I crave it. I need it. Yeah.
And so part of your strategy for coping with this was to replace the routines that involved math with routines that involved exercise, correct?
That didn't happen for a long time. I'm just recently back
Oh,
into
really?
exercise. Yeah, I mean, when I got here, we still smoked weed and drank and did that kind of stuff, but we didn't, I never ever, not once have I ever gone back and touched meth, not once. That was
That's great.
1994, August 26th of 1994 when we hit that toll booth. And that was the last time I ever even looked at meth or even have been around it that I'm aware of.
That's great. So it's been over a decade, and
Yeah, oh yeah.
you've
More than,
steadily. And
shit,
now,
almost 2 decades.
tell me how.
Actually, more than two
How
decades
often
now.
do you? Oh, really?
94, so it's 2015, so that's 21 years.
Oh, wow, you're
Isn't
right.
it?
Yeah, I'm fucking retarded. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we
Yeah,
smoked weed
that's
during that
awesome.
time
That's
period,
twice as good as I thought.
and yeah. Like I said, we smoked weed during that time period up until my last time of smoking weed was January or July 4th of 2004. I know that date. And yeah. And during that time period between 1994 and 2004, my ex-wife and we actually did coke, but it never triggered that need to do anything harder. Which is
I wonder
weird.
why.
I don't know. Because it was a choice, and I made it a choice, and I believe that that can be a choice for people. I mean, I believe that addiction is a choice, personally. I don't. It may not be for some people, but my ex-wife has never. She's been in the same boat as me, and she's made the choice to stay away from it as well, knowing what it does to us and what it does to people, and how destructive it is to relationships and everything about relationships. Yeah, we've made choices to stay away from it, and it's worked out pretty well for me and her as well. She's got
Good.
a she has a good career and works for a pretty prominent cellular telephone company, and yeah. So
That's great.
yeah.
I think I agree with you that addiction is a choice. Now, it's a very difficult choice when you're in the throes of it, I want to say.
Yes, Yes, it is. It is
It's not,
very, very
and that's
difficult.
something people don't understand about people who are addicted to drugs is, you know, you look down on them and say, like, oh, look what they've decided to do with their life. But, you know, they didn't decide that. It's just they still have a
It
decision.
just
It's a
happened.
very, very hard decision to make.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
And would you
it's a
struggle
tough
with
choice.
that regularly? Was it like daily you
Sure.
were like, should I do this? Should I not?
For
Should, you know?
months, for months, for months it was. Yeah, absolutely. Because it was available. It's not like it wasn't
Right.
around. I mean, I could go find some right now, but
Right.
I have way too much to lose. I have too much to lose, and that's what you got to. That's the key to understanding the choice is what are you prepared to lose? You know?
Yeah.
That's the critical choice. I mean, because if you have too much to lose, I have too much to lose. I have a great life. And even at the time, I had more. I didn't have as much as I have now, but I perceived that I had too much to lose. So I chose not to make those choices to lose those things, and I worked my way out of it. I
That's a
took
great
shit
insight.
jobs, and I worked really shitty jobs and made crappy money for a period of time. Then my ex-wife and I went back to school, got our degrees in electronics, and worked our asses off. I finished first in my class, and my life has gone straight up since then. Even though I've been through now two divorces, but I divorced her in 2004, and then I got remarried in 2008, and just recently have been divorced, which is you know. Has nothing to do with anything like that, but it's just bad. It's just different, life happens,
Well,
But
what you did to get out of the addiction is very smart, very shrewd. Because when people are addicted to drugs, there's so many triggers. And making a decision to quit, like we said, there's always a choice. But, you know, think about it practically. Like, are you better off having to make that choice occasionally or having to make that choice like 52 times a day? Because you see something that makes you want to do meth right now, and now it's, oh, am I going to do it or not?
Yeah,
So you escaped
and
the
it's a it,
triggers by moving.
yes, I literally ran away from my problem, which is a good choice, I thought.
Yeah.
You got to extricate yourself from the things that will continue your bad behavior. And that's what
Right.
a lot of people are not, they're not, they, some people just can't, they don't have the means to do so, and they're trapped in it. And I felt myself in that
Right.
situation at the time, but I reached out to my parents and they paid for the truck to get us out here. And that saved my life, I think.
So if they hadn't made that investment, that like $500 or $1,000 or whatever it was,
It was,
do you think you
yeah.
would have escaped it?
Possibly. I mean, somehow I felt compelled to do so. And I'm the type of person that I want to do what I want to do, and I'm going to go do it. Even though I was at, and the odds were really against me at the time, because I really had nothing. I was at the bottom, and it was bad. But,
Right.
and we did it, and we survived, and we excelled because we made better choices than we had been making in the past. And that's a part of growing up at the time. We were in our late 20s at the time, and or early mid 20s during that time period, and then got here and got our shit together and got jobs and made shit money, and then went and got our degrees, and that pretty much set everything off, as far as getting past everything and realizing that that's an investment in your future, and watch your money situation get much, much better remarkably fast, and has continued to
Right.
get better, and just bettering yourself and for you and your family. And that's what people have to do if they're going to escape that kind of cycle of addiction and destruction and self-loathing, I think, at a t personally, I think people that I felt like I was in a self-loathing kind of a kind of, I didn't hate myself, but you to do that kind of thing to yourself, you can't really like yourself. You know?
Right. And
Kind of,
so it
sort
sounds
of.
like
It's
that was
not.
almost a that's kind of a necessary component for you to find the motivation to abstain from it.
Yeah, because
It's a
you gotta
healthy
love
degree
yourself
of
again.
self-loathing, maybe.
Yeah, you gotta get away from that and appreciate what you have, and that, like I said, the two things that are too much to lose, and I felt like my family was something that I had to save, so I reached out to them and said, let's go as far away from here as I possibly know how to go. So we went halfway across the country, and here we are. We're
That's
apart, but
great. Yeah,
we're
and
both succeeding.
that's great. And
So,
congratulations on that. That's something
thank you.
not many people can do. And,
I've
you
heard
know,
that.
like
I've heard
we
that a lot,
mentioned.
and people, and I've, yeah, I've
Yeah.
heard that a lot from people. They don't understand. They see me and they don't think that I could have a story like that.
Right, and
Like
that's
you
why
said,
I wanted to have you on, because like it's hard to believe that you're the same guy that was, you know, addicted to meth for years.
Yeah. About 4 years of hardcore down in the gutter kind of bullshit. I mean, I kept my shit together because I had a job, but most people don't even do
It
that,
sounds like that's maybe what. See, I think there's something interesting here that I haven't really heard explored much, and that's this idea that because you had too much to lose, you made decisions that went against your present desires and instincts because you were seeing a bigger picture. And so it's like you having something to lose
Saved my
it
life.
seems like what saved you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. Well, and I'm not, I don't consider myself highly intellectual, but I'm not stupid, and I can see bigger picture, even though it's clouded by that drug. I could see the things I kind of knew I was fucking up. You know you're screwing up
Was
when
it
you're
something
doing
you were
it.
constantly aware of?
To a degree, yeah, but
Or would it be an awareness?
you'll get lost in the moment and the emotion and the party and the fun of it and the excitement of it, and you like as in youthful exuberance, you push back the smart thing to do and you do the stupid thing, And when you grow up, it's a grow up moment when you realize that, you got to get away from that. It was a seminal moment in my life. It really was.
Right. I think that people
So.
make. I think when people have an issue like that with a drug that can drastically alter their decision-making processes and put you specifically in a manic state, you maybe a good way to look at it is that you have a choice and you don't have a choice. You have a
Right.
choice whether or not you're going to put yourself in a state of mind in which you don't have a choice.
Right.
Would you agree
It's
with
true.
that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when you are
And
in a manic state, you
your
can't make a
decision-making
decision. It's
process.
yeah. It's like the way I would explain it is when I'm in a manic state, and it happens to me fairly regularly. I've learned to
Sure.
hopefully regulate it and channel it in a positive way and
You
understand it.
manage it. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's the point of this podcast. That's why it's called Tripolar. That's the concept. I'm gradually
Yeah.
becoming more capable of removing myself from either extreme and seeing things more objectively and then making decisions from that point. That's the goal. And that's
Right.
what I hope the listeners take. And it's something that keeps coming up with all my guests. It's interesting, is that is, it seems like a universal thing you should strive for, is the ability to separate yourself from your present emotion. Now, but that said, if I'm in a manic state, if I'm in a full-on manic state, and it's not hard to get there. Like I just got my
No,
Dexedrine
it's not.
today, and you know that's probably the most tempting time for me to double my dose, or because I know that if I take
Yeah.
just more than I'm supposed
Because it's
to,
easy. It's right there. It's just right there. It's so easy.
easy, and you have so many just bucket moments where you're just like, ah, fuck it,
Yeah,
you know.
exactly.
But then
Right.
as soon as that pill is swallowed, it's like there's I'm like possessed for a certain period of time where whatever I
Yeah.
do, it's like a foregone conclusion. You know, it's like if I should try to find some, maybe I'll insert it later. I'll try to find something I wrote like while I was manic. But you know, I'll decide. I'll like have an idea. Like I'm gonna write this person and you know tell them that I have a crush on them, for example. You know, and then
yeah.
I'm doing it and I can't stop myself. And now there's like a gigantic letter out of nowhere to someone who maybe barely knows me, and it's like this super romantic, super like, hey, I'm gonna tell you like it is. I'm not gonna hide this anymore. It's time to be real with you. Like. I feel this way.
Yeah.
You just feel this, not only entitlement, this need to get what you're feeling out there and make someone else feel something. And
yeah, my ex-wife used to write,
poetry
like that. She would write these long, drawn out, rambling poems that, just like that, with all the emotion that was, and they were almost, they were hard to read because they were a little, you know, they kind of jump around a lot, but they were, I mean, you could tell that she, depending on what state she was in, that they were fairly manic, but very, very deeply emotional and heartfelt to the degree that her heart was available to be felt at that point in time. You know, it's a strange combination because your brain's in two different places. The heart's telling you one thing, your brain's telling you another, and the drugs are manipulating each one of those at the same time.
Right.
It's really kind of twisted and weird. I'm glad I never did that. I focused my energy
really
on mechanical things. Yeah.
It makes you selfish is what it does. It makes you utterly incapable.
Yes. Oh my God, yes. That's exactly right.
Your desires override, it's a fucking
everything.
Veto power,
everything,
executive override, this is what's
yes.
happening, and it's, then we'll
yeah,
deal
red,
with the
it's
fallout.
It's red phone bullshit. It's, I mean, it's all in on that, what I have to have right now. Yeah, exactly right. Completely selfish, 100%. And that's the part
here,
the part that I felt, like I described earlier, about where it steals your soul. When you're that selfish about everything in your life, you're losing the part of your humanity that you can give to others. And that's what I felt like I was losing my soul, because I was so self-absorbed and selfish about everything. And that's not okay for me, because that's not the type of person I am. I wasn't brought up to be that kind of a person. And I didn't like it. And it made me sick to think of myself as that selfish and narcissistic of a person, you know?
Right.
So that's pretty much what drove me to get my shit straight, you know?
That's a great observation, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but, for example, Hitler was addicted to meth.
I do.
It's not
that.
A well-known fact, but he had a doctor who injected him with what was almost certainly, you know, some variation of what we would just call meth,
sure.
daily. And when you see
probably
him
more
giving
clean,
those speeches,
pure.
And,
yeah,
right,
you can see
like
it.
The best shit
you can see it all over him.
That they can. It's that. Imagine, you know, everyone has a little Hitler in them. If they were to take some meth, like you could become
a
Hitler
absolutely.
If you were
absolutely.
On that. That decisiveness, that passion, that desire to get everyone to follow your lead. That absolute just conviction that what you know, what you see is the way to go. And people admire that to a degree. Like there's,
because
we have an instinct
and people,
to follow someone like that.
Yeah. Or be disgusted by it if you're in the right mind, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, it depends on your viewpoint and where you're, how objective you are. And if you're easily manipulated, which the majority of people are, because they tend to be wannabe sheep rather than think about it, because people are intellectually lazy, I think, and they don't want to think about the things and the consequences. They're short-sighted and people want to think about the here and now and what can it do for me right now, but rather than thinking about the long-term consequences of actions and you know, that's a whole nother discussion, you know, but you're right. I think, you know, that in retrospect, looking at him, he looked like he was a tweaked out freak show because he was
He was.
obsessed about his convictions, and he was also being manipulated, I believe, by other sickos that were around him. And you tend to crazy psychos when you're on that kind of shit.
Sure.
Yeah, because I know I
Yeah,
did.
because they
People that I
want
was
power
around
too.
were they, yeah, they were whacked out. I mean, everybody's whacked out, and they're all probably doing the same shit you're
You
doing.
don't see him when he's not doing well, or what he would
Right.
call well. That's what people don't
Right.
understand. Whenever there's someone, even Hitler, I guarantee it. I talk about like Kanye West, all these people who you see them in a super manic state and you define them as
Yeah.
that. I guarantee there's times when they're the complete opposite, where they're
Sure.
completely overcome with depression, self-loathing, doubt, regret,
Yeah.
all these things, and
Back to
it takes some
humanity.
time to just get back to the way you've seen them, and that's when they
Right.
show themselves again, because they're confident
Yeah.
again. And
Right.
that's like the absurdity of the condition is that you, I don't know, it's like an act. Like you want to appear the same. You just want to be consistent, It's like
Yeah.
you realize maybe you're an asshole, but like
But that
I
goes
don't know,
against the human
like
condition
I think,
because nobody's that consistent. Nobody.
right. Yeah, the
Because we all
reality
have
is
our
no
ups and
one is
downs.
the same. Yeah,
Yeah.
and here I'm interested if you're down for this, I want to read Kim through something I wrote while I was manic, just to get people in, because I want people listening to better understand the actual mindset of someone who's in one of these states, whether it be
Yeah.
induced by a drug or induced by physiological abnormalities just in your brain that you can't control.
Sure, it's a chemical. It's typically chemical,
Right,
I think.
it is. So here's something I can tell. I don't remember writing this, but I guarantee I was manic when I wrote it because of just the length of it. And I'll skim it. I'll skim it because I'm embarrassed by just how fucking long it was. But I wrote this girl who my last contact with her had been, I think, like a few years before writing this message.
Right.
I probably just I randomly saw her on Facebook, I'm sure, and I was like going after that. Is this beautiful girl? And I write her, I say, okay, so since you left me unsatisfied in the catching up department yesterday, oh, I guess I talked to her probably briefly the day before, I've decided to write you. Why? Because I feel like it would be worth getting to know each other better. Okay, since we last talked with like 15 D's, well, here's last year's highlights. Started grad school a few weeks, you're very boastful too, at least I am,
Right.
when I'm
Yeah,
man.
yeah.
Like, I want people to know I'm smart, that I'm going to be successful, that I'm trying to project things to impress, So
Sure.
I'm saying, started grad school a few weeks after graduating Chapman in May of last year. My dad's military benefits paid tuition and gave me almost enough to survive on. Took double classes so I could get a master's in a little over a year. Did all this because I'd spent all my money and effort on a feature, which still isn't finished, and I couldn't find a job. So there, I'm both boasting and like telling intimate,
Right.
insecurities
Right.
that, are very
It's
unsolicited.
ironic. It's
Now after
extremely
that,
ironic. Yeah.
it's weird. Yeah, it's so weird. And
Yeah.
then after that, I talk about a kind of a love triangle situation that I had with a friend and this girl. And again, like what I'm interested in this girl romantically, and I'm telling her about another girl, like makes no sense. Manic, doesn't matter.
Right. You're
Going with it.
driving her
Fucking
away.
idea hit my brain. It's coming out. In a
Squirrel.
turn of luck, a fairly established director had a movie that grossed like $15 million in parentheses, said that if I turn this idea I presented him into a script, that he'd try to get it made and would consider me for the lead role. He seemed really authentic and like he really believed in me. While
Wow.
in school, spent 5 months focused on that movie idea, turned it into a 180-page script that I'm really proud of, sent it to the director. He said he was going to read it, and but he's not following through. And there's like 15, literally probably 15, 20 bullets of that length. It's like I was figuring out like who I was to this girl, and I get into some really like fucked up things and just like things that I maybe like needed to get off my chest. And but again, completely unsolicited, no context
Right.
for this. This girl gets a like 5,000-word manifesto
Oh
out
my
of the
God.
blue. Like, if that's not crazy, I mean, what is? And
Well,
what's
I
weird
wouldn't
is
call it
when
crazy.
you look
It's
at that.
not crazy. I wouldn't call it crazy. It's
No?
No. It's I don't consider that crazy because I've done similar things. And I definitely don't consider myself crazy.
That's
But
good.
you do things under a chemical imbalance that are not normal to your
Right.
normal state. And I don't consider it crazy. Crazy is a whole different, I mean, that's a different thing. There's people that are crazy. People that go shoot up places and do, that's crazy. Take life for no reason and just because they felt something
Right.
stupid or whatever. That's crazy. I mean, pouring your heart out is not crazy. That's
Right.
humanity.
It's more
That's
humane
pouring out,
manifestation
your
of that. I
humanity.
don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe when someone's is going on a shooting spree, it's a similar kind of mindset where it's like a foregone
They just take it
conclusion for
to
them, you know?
a different level. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know.
Or
I can't relate to that.
motivated by a different type of character, or you know,
Yeah,
like they're a
or
different
different
person
demon.
underneath it all. Yeah, or a
Yeah,
different
right.
demon. Because I think
Yeah.
what these drugs do and what these conditions, like what happens is, for me, when I'm manic, I feel like I'm being very authentic, and that's admirable, and people are gonna relate to it and
Appreciate it.
appreciate it, and like I'm cutting
Yeah.
through the bullshit, and I'm, you know, like I'm throwing off the fakeade that I need to carry day to day, and that's something
Yeah.
I do like to do, but it's very,
Keep
again,
it
very self-obsessed, but
yeah, keep it
you know,
100.
you
Trying
think
to
you're
keep it a
doing
hundred,
people a favor.
but you're not. You're actually
Exactly.
full of shit.
You're keeping it 10,000. You're keeping it too much.
Yeah, way too much.
But did you get that impression too, where it's like you mentioned that you feel like you're a new man, you're a different person, and that person's
Oh yeah.
like, I got this.
I feel that now way more than I ever did. I felt it when I was doing that stuff, but it was fake. And I knew it was fake because I wasn't as confident as I am now. I have a different level of
Right.
confidence, and it's a maturity thing, and that I've been through these things, and I can handle whatever because I've been through some shit. Obviously, I've been through some
Right.
shit, and I can handle it. And like you said about my girlfriend, she appreciates that about me, that I've been through this shit and have come out the tunnel alive and well adjusted and God bless me for doing that. I mean, I feel very blessed to have survived all the shit that I've been through and yeah, I mean I'm in a great place and I love my life.
That's
So
awesome.
yeah.
That's
So
great.
I gotta put my puppies to bed, and I gotta get to bed too because I gotta get up at 4:30 in the morning or 3:30 in the morning. So,
All right. Well, yeah, no, that I think that's a pretty good note to play us out with.
great.
And yeah, I mean, I hope that maybe with today's episode we help people understand the first person experience of being manic
And
and or being on
power
something
of
like
it.
meth.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's powerful. And like they
Intoxicating.
say, not once. The campaign that they've come up with about not one time, that strikes me as a really good approach because if people understand that if you do meth once, you could be addicted to it forever till the day you die. Or
Right.
like with I mean I got lucky. I mean, I believe that I got lucky. But, my story is not normal by any stretch.
Not it's yeah it's not characteristic.
No, not even close. I mean, most people don't come out the other side and live a really good life. They tend to hang on to that poor lifestyle or come out fucked up mentally, physically, and emotionally. And I'm not
And pride's a
pretending
big
that I
factor
didn't
in
have
it too,
emotion.
huh?
I'm not going to pretend that I didn't have emotional and physical and I had scars and still do. They're still
Right.
there, but I've managed them and I've tried to turn them into positive things, turn them into strengths rather than weaknesses. And
Right.
that's again part of the choice process. You can make your experiences strengths or weaknesses, and if you turn them into strengths, It just makes you even stronger, I believe. So
Yeah, you're right.
that's my bit,
Huh.
man.
Great. Yeah, thanks for so much for sharing this, because I know, the show's starting to reach more and more people, and I
Good.
guarantee people are going to be listening to this who, are dealing with
I
these
hope so.
things, and
I hope so.
people who are probably identify very strongly with your kind of story. So I hope what they take from it is that
You can win.
you can win. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can make a choice to not put yourself in a situation where you have to make choices that are extremely hard to make and that maybe you have no control
Right.
over. Like, you can make that first choice, like you did, to say, I have too much to lose. So it starts with believing in your own potential in life
It's understanding that
and
your
getting away
choices
from
affect
everything.
others. Your choices affect other
Yes.
people. That's the thing that people don't understand and don't recognize straight away is that your choices aren't just affecting you. They're affecting so many more people, your parents, your kids, your wife, your cousins, your uncles. I mean, everybody around you is affected by your choices to some degree. I mean, lessering degrees for people that are farther detached from you, but the people that are close to you, they're going to be affected fairly dramatically by your poor choices. And those choices direct your life. So I've said this to my, I've told this to my kids going from as long as I can remember, life is just choices and attitude. You go through life making choices, and how you those choices affect you is all about your attitude and how you choose to make that attitude affect everything around you.
Yeah,
So
there's a line
that's my.
from one of my favorite movies. The line is that the decisions you make end up making you.
That's a fact. And they can, and but you're in control of that. You really are. People forget that. They let the choices affect them rather than them affecting the choice. So I know it's pretty deep, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, that's
People need to
good.
be
We want
deep.
it to be deep. We're not in
Right
the
on.
we're not in the shallow end of the pool with this.
No, exactly not.
Yeah,
No, we're
thanks so
through.
much for coming on, Phil. And I know it takes a lot to share your story, particularly because you do have a lot to lose now. And you don't
True.
know like who's listening, who what they'll take away from it if they but fuck them. It's like
I hope it
you're
helps some.
able to
I
help a
really hope
lot
it
of
helps
people.
somebody. I hope somebody
It will.
hears my story
And
and understands that you can make the choice to make a better life for yourself. So.
yeah. And feel free to write in, anyone listening, if Phil's story does help you. I'd love to hear if there is anyone out there that this really connects with, and if there's any way we can maybe point you somewhere to help you out or whatever. But
Right on.
yeah, thanks so much for taking the time and being vulnerable and keeping it 100.
Always, brother. Always
Yeah.
100. Yes,
Always 100. All right, cool.
sir.
Well, have a great night, and yeah, again, thanks so much for doing this.
Not a problem, Nico. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Have a good one.
That's Phil for you. Interesting story, inspirational story. I hope you take from this a more developed understanding of what it's like to be on a drug like that, why you're probably better off avoiding a drug like that, and that if you are addicted to a drug like that you can overcome it. If Phil's story is any indication, I mean, here's a guy who went from you heard from where he was from rock bottom, not being able to pay the toll at a toll booth with all his belongings and no idea where he's going with his life. He was able to go from that to the Cialis guy. So if he can do it, you can do it, I like to think. And yeah, and hopefully people, my boy, by my bipolar buddy is listening. I hope that maybe you can identify a little with what we were saying about mania. And for you, it's kind of maybe the opposite, where it's like you need to be taking drugs to avoid that. and to regulate it, limit it, and, you know, then the key is trying to be tripolar, trying to distance yourself from that first person, I'm manic, what I say goes, it's a foregone conclusion state of mind. You need to avoid that shit. But when you're in it, just try to make the right choices. Try to wait till it's gone. Don't do anything bananas. And at the same time, all the pros, what I like about our episode is we got into the good things about, you know, why do people take these drugs? No one ever tells you the good things. It's good to know. What are the positives? You know, if you're manic, you have bipolar disorder, you have these things, there's ways to channel that mania in a productive way and to harness it and use it as a weapon in life. And if you have that propensity to get to that place, use it for good. Find a way to channel it into something that could be objectively appreciated by others. And easier said than done. But, you know, there's pros that go along with the cons. So don't throw the baby out with bathwater. I do recommend throwing that meth out, though. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It was more focused on mental health. And I don't think there's anything else we really need to say. I don't think so. Sponsored today. I'm going to tell you a little about Onnit. Onnit makes nutritional supplements that enhance cognitive function. Nootropics, they're called. I'm taking one right now called Alpha Brain. I'm taking it in the last 30 days, and I think it's been helping. It's not a dexedrine. It's not going to have that powerful, potent, you know, maybe too potent effect. It's going to do some similar things, though, where it's going to help you focus more. It's going to help you concentrate. It's going to make you your mood elevated, and it's going to also help you, going to help with memory. It's going to help with memory. Yeah, see what I did there? Yeah, that's pretty hilarious, right? Onnit. Try it out. You can get, I believe, 20% off right now on your first order. So just head on over to Onnit, get that 20% off. A little pricey. Not cheap, but it's well branded, it's well put together, and I think it works pretty well. What's cool is they offer you a no bullshit, complete money back guarantee. If you're not into it, you're not liking it, you can return it. You can get your money back without returning it. You can just keep it. Hell, if you're an asshole, you can just rip them off. You can just have a free bottle. Tell them you don't like it. Don't do that, though. Point is, you could. And if you don't like it, they will honor that and give you your money back. But the reason they give you that is because they're so confident in the product. They've done all these independent clinical trials type of things, and it's shown to work. So try it out. I recommend Alpha Brain. I got a bunch of their other stuff coming in the mail. I like to try things first before I talk about it on the show to make sure it's not bullshit. I thought on it, I was impressed. Sorry. I'm impressed so far. And I'm going to be trying out some of their other stuff. They got Shroom Tech, it's called. They got some for like joints and aches, and they got beef jerky. It's made out of a buffalo. They got some crazy shit. So looking forward to trying more of their stuff. And hey, can't hurt. Worst case, get your money back. Try it out on it. Onnit.com. All right. That was the episode. Hope you enjoyed it so much. Feel guilty. Hope you share it with your friends. Hope you listen to it every day for the next 62 days. Now, I hope that last one is too much. All right. Hey, have a great night. You've been Tripolar.